all stand up together.
Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The heavens declare your greatness. The oceans cry out to you. The mountains, they bow down before you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll give my praise to you. Oh, I praise you. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The heavens declare your greatness. The oceans cry out to you. The mountains, they bow down before you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll sing. The heavens declare your greatness. The oceans cry out to you. The mountains, they bow down before you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll give my praise to you. I will worship you. I will worship you. I will worship you. I will worship you. Cry out to you. The mountains, they bow down before you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll sing. The heavens declare your greatness. The oceans cry out to you. The mountains, they bow down before you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll give my praise to you. Oh, I praise you.
Amen, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. All right, this time Meg's going to come up and give us some announcements. So come on up, Meg.
Hi guys, thanks for coming out. I do have a couple announcements for you tonight. Our congregational meeting is going to be after worship tomorrow. If you are a church member, please plan to attend that. Also, choir practice has been Sundays in the afternoon for our Christmas hang-ups, which is our Christmas presentation this year. It is not tomorrow, but it will be next week at 1:30. New people are welcome to come. Our leadership meeting is going to be the next Sunday, November 11th. That's going to be following the morning service also. It's a pizza lunch. Coming up later this month, on November 18th, Pastor Ron is going to be having a class for, well, he'll be teaching a bus monitor course. And the bus monitor is someone that's going to be going on the buses with the kids to and from the church, and their job is to make the bus ride fun and memorable. And so this is the person that kind of is just going to be with the kids and kind of prepare them for what God has for them. So if you're interested in this ministry opportunity, I hope that you will come out. That's coming up later on November 18th. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for those announcements, May. Let's stand up. We're going to continue our singing. But I want to tell you guys, welcome to Oasis. We're really glad you're here tonight. This is your first time with us, then welcome. Every week we come together at 7 o'clock, we sing some songs, and then we open up the Bible and see what God teaches us about life. Then afterwards, we like to hang out and have a meaningful conversation about what we heard. So if you are here, we hope you come back. Let's all stand together. We're going to continue singing a song called 10,000 Reasons.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship Your holy name. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship Your holy name. In love, and You're slow to anger. Your name is great, and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship Your holy name. Time has come. Still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord. worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. I worship Your holy name. Lord, I worship Your holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. Worship Your holy name. Worship Your holy name.
Amen. Price of freedom. Let the whole earth see, hear the praises rising. We stand in awe of what You've done for us at the cross, the hope of the world lifted on high. Calling us home with arms out wide, to know You forever, to love You forever. You are our everything. Our sin erased, we're forgiven. You made a way, You were our ransom. This life for all You've done for us at the cross, the hope of the world lifted on high, calling us home with arms out wide, to know You forever, to love You forever. You are our everything, the hope of the world lifted on high, calling us home with arms out wide, to know You forever, to love You forever. You are our everything and all we need is You. All we need is You. All we need is You, Lord. All we need is You. The hope of the world lifted on high, calling us home with arms out wide, to know You forever, to love You forever. You are our everything, the hope of the world lifted on high, calling us home with arms out wide, to know You forever, to love You forever. You are our everything, to know You forever, to love You forever. You are our everything. you, God. We thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. We thank you that you love each and every one of us, Lord. We praise you for your sacrifice, Lord, that makes it possible for us to come to you, Lord, even with our own brokenness and our own mess. Just thank you for that in my life, God. And I thank you for the people who have come here tonight, Lord, to hear you. I pray that you would speak to them, in Jesus' name. I'm going to do one more song, and then we'll get into our message for tonight.
Lift your voice as heaven and earth give praise. Fall to your knees at the feet of the Son of the one true God. From always lift your eyes, for the kingdom of God is here. Open your heart, offer all, for Jesus Christ is here. We have found our hope, we have found our peace, we have found our rest. Hear the one who loves, he will light the way, he will lead us home as we are. That is home, Jesus, the Son of God. Lord over all, he is good, and his mercy endures. We have found our hope, we have found our peace, we have found our rest. Hear the one who loves, he will light the way, he will lead us home as we are.
Forever his love endures,
Forever His love endures, forever and ever. His love endures, forever His love endures, forever His love endures, forever and ever. We sing His love endures, forever His love endures, forever His love endures, forever and ever. We have found our hope, we have found our peace, we have found our rest. Hear the one who loves, He will light the way, He will lead us home as we offer all to the one who saves us all.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Oh, how's everyone doing tonight?
Good.
You guys awake?
Good.
Yeah?
Woo!
I forgot to put the mic on, so.
Nathan, you're awesome.
I know, Nathan just said, hashtag fail. All right. There you go.
That's how it's done. Pretty magical, right? Okay.
Thanks, guys.
All right, well, I am excited tonight. This is our final message in the Attitude Series, and what an adventure the Attitude Series has been. Anybody ever had an attitude? Yeah, me too. We've all, hey, Rich, you're not supposed to point at people. I'm like, anybody ever have an attitude? Rich is like, yeah, that one right there. It's all right. You started red now. It's okay. Sorry. I would do the same exact thing, like with my wife and my in-laws and all the friends I have. And
no way.
Not my in-laws. What? No. No. Sorry. I forgot they were in here. No, but you know what? We talked about five attitudes. We talked about critical, and that's an attitude where you just get like stuck in this mode, like where everything is just horrible and you're like, oh, that's rotten. That's horrible. I can't believe they did that. You know, no matter what happens, like everything is through this filter of like, it sucks and it's horrible and it's rotten. Right? You've been there? Yeah, I've been there. I totally get there sometimes. We talked about the doubting attitude, where you just doubt everything. No, it's not going to work out. Like, God doesn't care about me. Nobody cares about me. My family hates me. Like, you're just doubting everything around you. You've been there? Yeah? I've been there too, where you just have faith in nothing, not in God or anything else. What about covetous? This is where, like, you want, where you feel like your happiness and, like, the next thing in life comes from something that you got to get. Like the new iPhone 5, right? Or an Android phone for those of us that are using Android. We have some of those in our midst tonight. Brad gives him the look like, oh, you use Android. It's okay. So, you know, I want that thing. I gotta have that new car. I gotta have that house. I gotta have that girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever. I gotta have that thing. And if I have that thing, then I'll be happy. And if I don't have that thing, then I'm just miserable and everyone's gonna know about it. Right? Been there? Yeah, me too. Rebellious, or actually before that, complaining. Complaining attitude is just where, like, I am just upset about everything in the whole world. It's different from critical. Critical is like putting everything down. Complaining is like, I'm just going to let everybody hear how bad the entire universe is. Like, I'm just going to, like, tell it just like it is constantly, and you can't get out of that. And then finally, a rebellious attitude, which says, I don't care what the authority is in my life, I want out from under it. I don't care who it is, anything, anybody that tells me anything, any authority, whether it's government, mom, dad, boss, teacher, they're out to get me. I can't stand them. I just want to fight from that authority in my life. And that's a rebellious attitude, where you just, like, no matter how good it is for you, you're just like, oh no, I'm not doing that. And just turn away and you just run away from it. And we talked about how these attitudes can really mess us up. And I identified with most of them. Probably most of you guys have identified with those at some point in your life. And we talked about how those attitudes will put us in a wilderness, okay? And what is a wilderness? Well, a wilderness is, a dry, barren, and lonely place of unfulfillment. A dry, barren, and lonely place of unfulfillment where you are just not fulfilled in your life. You cannot be fulfilled if you are in the wilderness. If you are holding on to and embodying these attitudes in your person and in yourself, then nothing can make you happy. Nothing can fulfill you. You are cut off. You are in the wilderness. You are out in the cactus and the sand, just kind of walking around really thirsty and dry and completely cut off from fulfillment in your life. You have no satisfaction. You get no fulfillment out of life. You might even be saying to yourself, I wish I had a life, right? I have no life. I wish I had a life. Okay, these are the kind of things that come out of this wilderness attitude. I want to tell you tonight, you're not alone. You're not alone. If you've been there, if you're there with us tonight, you are not alone. You're surrounded by other people who have felt that way, who have been there, who may even be there right now. Okay? So take a deep breath and chill. I'm not going to like rip into you. We've all been there. Maybe you're not there, you know? And as I wrap up this message tonight about attitudes, you're like, well, I'm not there. I'm great, man. All my attitudes are awesome. Then listen up, because you need to listen, because someone you know and care about is there, or will be there, or you will be there at some point. So listen up tonight. We're going to look at a story from Numbers chapter 21. A really cool story. So if you have a Bible and you want to start, you can get a head start turning there. Numbers chapter 21. And my Bible kind of falls open to it because I've been studying it. That's, you know, that's the secret. Like passages, we're studying this passage, so it's like super easy to find. We just like go, and it's like, bing, you know, and you guys are like, I can't. Okay, page 129 if you have an ESV. 129 if you're an ESV. If you have your phone, you can open YouVersion and get that going, and you'll be good to go. We're going to be starting in verse 4, but before I get to that, I want to kind of give you a run-up to tell you what's going on here, okay? In chapter 20, Miriam died. Miriam is the sister of Aaron. Aaron is the high priest, and he's like Moses' right-hand man, okay? So Aaron's sister, Miriam, dies in chapter 20. After that, the people get really ticked off because they're really thirsty and there's no water. And so God tells Moses, speak to the rock, okay? So I don't know what he's supposed to say, like, hey, rock, I'm thirsty. I don't know what the words were. It doesn't tell us. It just says, speak to the rock. But Moses was so ticked off at all the people who were like, I'm thirsty, can I have a drink? And my kids do this like all the time. Mommy, can I have a drink? Mommy, can I have a drink? I'm thirsty, I want a drink. Like, it's the end of the day, and I'm like, finally, we're putting them in bed, you know? And we get them to bed, and then Jake says, might want a drink, right? He's back there now playing on iPad. But he does. Might want a drink? And I'm like, oh, I was so close to freedom. Yes, I'll get you a drink, you know. So, but the people were just like, Moses, give us a drink. And God says, speak to the rock. Moses was so frustrated, he just like, hit the rock. And the water comes out. But God says to Moses, hey, Moses, you're not going to be able to go into promised land because you didn't listen. Like, you got so frustrated, you didn't trust me. I wanted to show the people some cool thing. And like, you didn't do it. So that whole situation goes down with the water. And then, as if that wasn't enough, they get to this place called Edom. They're moving across the wilderness. Remember, this is the second generation. The first generation had got to the promised land. And they were about to cross the Jordan River to go into the promised land. And they went to sit spies. And the spies came back and said, ooh, it's really scary. There's lots of big, tall, giant people there. They're going to kill us all. God brought us out here so we would all die. And they got mad and they threw a hissy fit, which is where all our attitudes came from. We talked about the attitudes that they had. And because they had these attitudes, it was so drastic that God said, you're going to have to wander around in the wilderness until this generation is done. And the next generation then could go into the promised land. And that's serious. So our attitudes are a serious thing, right? So this is the second generation. They're heading back to the promised land. They get to this land called Edom. And Edom's cool because back in the day, this guy named Abraham had a son named Isaac. Okay? Isaac had two boys. He had Jacob and Esau. Jacob grew up and had the 12 sons, which made the 12 tribes of Israel. So when you hear of the children of Israel, Jacob's name was changed to Israel in this fight with God, okay? So the children of Israel are Jacob's kids. Esau grew up. He had a bunch of kids. They're called the Edomites. And so they're in this land called Edom. So it's like they're cousins, okay? They get to this land, the Edomites, and they say, hey, can we pass through your land? We're not going to drink your stuff out of the well. We're not going to steal your women or your chickens or anything like that. We just want to go through on your road because it'll be a shortcut to get to where we're supposed to go. The Edomites come out with an army. They're like, no way, you're not going in our land because I don't want no trouble, okay? So then Moses has to come back to the people and be like, yeah, we got to go like back around the other way. And they're like, we've been wandering around 40 years. Miriam just died. We had this whole thing with the rock, you know, we're thirsty. And then to top that off after they find out they got to wander around some more, Aaron dies. Okay? So now Aaron's dead too, and the next guy's taking over for Aaron. They've seen their entire family, the whole generation pass away and die. And now Moses is like, yeah, we got to turn around and go back the other way. Like, I thought we were going to the promised land. This is where we pick up. This is where we pick up in Numbers. Here we go. Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 5. So let's go ahead and read this. Numbers 21, verse 4 and 5. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea, to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. We loathe this worthless food. What are they saying here? Here's the situation. I'm in the wilderness, Moses, okay? My family and friends are dying. Miriam died. Aaron died. You promised a life for us. The whole reason that we left Egypt was because you and God promised a life for us. I have no life, Moses. Here I am, stuck in the sticks, in the wilderness with the cactus, all right? Living in a tent with my mother-in-law, no offense, right? But we have no life. I was promised a special land. This land was supposed to have excellent amenities, okay? I was supposed to have food and clothing, a really nice house, a place to grow my farm, to raise my kids, to have a family. I don't have any of that. I wander around in the sand all the time. You know how bad the sand is? You ever been to the beach? It's like all on your feet. No, I walk in this every day. I drink water coming from some random rock that Moses got mad and hit. Okay? We go out, we pick our food up off the ground every day. I'm sick of that. This is not living. This is what God means as a life? This is not living, Moses. Okay? I have no place to sleep here hardly. I'm like sleeping on the ground. The deal was that I follow you. I follow God, and I get this thing called the promised land. I'm starting to think this promised land doesn't even exist. Doesn't even exist. The plan is that I get to have a life, Moses. I'm supposed to get to have a life. Now, how many of you have been there? It's okay. I've been there, okay? What is this? I have no life, God. What are you doing? Like, this is not how it was supposed to work out. This was not in the plan. I've totally been there, and I'm guessing, even though you haven't raised your hand, that you've probably been there, or maybe you're even there tonight. Maybe your promised land is something different, though, than a place where you can raise chickens and have a farm. Probably is, right? Maybe your promised land is a job. Maybe the promised land that you thought was a relationship, a marriage, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, whatever. Maybe your promised land is far more serious. Maybe your promised land is a sickness. Maybe it's pain. Maybe you need to be healed. What is your thing tonight? whatever your thing is, you feel like if I had this thing, if I had my promised land like I was supposed to be promised, then things would be better, then I would have a life. And because I don't, because this situation is not taken care of for me, I can't have a life. And my life is on hold. Everything is held up because of this. And that's what they felt. And that's where they were at. And I totally get it. You know, sometimes preachers, and we read this, and it's easy for us, you know, living in 2012, you know, with our first world problems, to kind of look back at them and say, oh my gosh, they're so unthankful. Like, you know, they should have, they were slaves in Egypt, and now look at them, you know, God saved them from Pharaoh and all this. And I would never be that way. Yeah, I would. I would totally be that way, okay? I would get there, and if I wasn't, then my wife would be telling me to go yell at Moses and tell him all these things. Okay, she would, and she's not mad at me about that. We would totally be there. We'd be like, what is this? This is ridiculous. You got to say something to Moses. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. So the feeling is that God just doesn't care. That we want to exclaim and say, you don't care. You just don't care about me, God. You could fix this, but you won't. You could fix this, but you won't. And it sounds like a good argument to me. It really does sound like a good argument to me. God has made promises, and these promises were not fulfilled in their eyes, in their way. You know, and I'm sure that you have a good argument too. In fact, Jesus says in John 10:10, he says, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. That they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. And I don't know about you, but sometimes as a Christian, I feel like my life isn't so abundant. I got stuff going on. I got problems. There's situations I wish that would be changed and transformed and healed or better. And it doesn't feel so abundant. It doesn't feel so abundant. And it's at this point that God does something very special because he loves them. And it's hard to understand, but we're going to work our way through it. God does this thing and he opens their eyes. He opens their eyes. They're going to see what life is really all about. So let's look at Numbers 21, verse 6 through 9. Verse 6 through 9. Hold on to your gizzard. This gets crazy. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. Wait, Ron, I thought you said God was going to do something really cool. I thought, this does not sound cool, okay? Bear with me, let's go on. And the people came to Moses and said, we've sinned. We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten when he sees it shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. Okay. Here's what's going on here. It is cool. Just bear with me. All right. Hang in there with the whole snakes biting people. They're living in the wilderness, right? What lives in the wilderness? Snakes, right? Snakes on the wilderness. Oh no, there's snakes in the wilderness. Now, why are they not getting bitten all the time by random snakes in the wilderness? Anybody got a guess? Okay, how about I guess? I believe that God has had his protection around them to keep out the snakes in the wilderness. This is the wilderness. There's lots of snakes in the wilderness. God's had his protection all around them, keeping them safe from snakes, from all kind of weird wild animals, from the crazy stuff that happens in the wilderness. And now they start griping and complaining against God who's in charge and he's the boss there. And so what does God do? Like we heard about with the rebellion thing. When we turn away from God, when we turn away from authority in our life, the people that have been placed there for our protection, that we lose that protection. We lose that protection. You know? If I'm holding my kid's hand and he's walking with me, he's limited where he can go. We're walking in a parking lot or something. He's very limited where he can go because I have his hand and his arms are only so long. If he wiggles away from me, now he can run out and get hit by a car. He totally can. He is free to roam, to run. Sometimes they'll go running, you know, and trip over a rock or something and go flying on their face. Ah! I'm like, well, you should hold my hand. You know, that's why I was walking with you. So I could catch you when you fall. So they could be there for you. But you didn't want to. So you ran and got hurt. Whose fault is that? It's not my fault. It's the same thing here. God removes his protection. Well, what about the snakes? The snakes came from the wilderness. God was protecting them from the snakes and the wild animals. So the snakes come into the camp now because God's removed his protection, and people get bit. Ouch. The snake bites people. They start dying. So they go to Moses. Hey, Moses, you remember that whole thing about I'm mad at God and stuff? Yeah, we don't like snakes even more than we don't like this food that we're having to eat and all this other stuff. So the snakes are bad. Can you please ask God to take the snakes away? So Moses goes to God. God says, no, Moses, I'm not going to take the snakes away. What? What? Come on, why are you so cruel, God? Like, what is this? I'm not going to take the snakes away. Why doesn't God take the snakes away? Because like I said, God wants to show them something. And sometimes the lessons that we have to learn in life are really hard. And they're hard for us to see and hard to make sense. But here's what's going on. God's saying, I love you too much to take the snakes away. I love you and care about you too much to take the snakes away. The snakes are there so that you will see me. The snakes are there so you will see me. Now let me give an illustration. This is a guitar. I want you to imagine that you are a guitar, okay? You live your life. You have a case, you know, over there that you live in, you know, and sometimes you come out. So you're in a case, you know, and you think, man, what I really need to make me happy in life, to fulfill me, is a nice stand. You know, I don't want to lay around in the case all the time. So what I need is a stand. If I had a cool stand, then I could be displayed for everyone to see. They could see how awesome the craftsmanship of me is. And so you get a nice stand, right? And then you think, man, what I really need is a strap, a cool strap to wear. That way I would be like stylish and decorated. And then you realize while you're on the stand that, man, these strings, they start to corrode. So now you need new strings. You're like, oh, my life is horrible. It's a mess because I have no strings. My strings are all wore out, you know? So here you are, you're living your life, you know, thinking, man, I wish I had a life. And you keep coming up with another piece. Maybe you need this cool capo thing, whatever that does, right? And you want this cool tuner, you know, with the digital lights and stuff on it. You're like, man, if I had this stuff, I would be happy. And you sit around and you get stuff and it never fulfills you. It never fulfills you. Until one day, someone comes and grabs you by the neck and picks you up and squeezes you. And you're like, this is not cool. And then they turn your life upside down, all right? And throw you around, and they start squishing on your neck, like you're gonna choke or something. And all of a sudden, the weirdest thing happens. And you get this feeling, this. And you realize for the first time in your life why you were made. You realize for the first time in your life that you exist to make music. Realize that nothing will ever be the same because the musician has picked you up. And that you were made for the musician, and the musician made you for that one thing, to play music, to exist, to be with the musician, and to make music together. And you realize, you know what? It doesn't matter what your strings look like. It doesn't matter how the strap is. None of this stuff matters anymore. The only thing that matters is that you get as much time as possible with the musician. You don't want to go back in the case. You don't care about being on the stand. You want to be played. You want the music to be played. And it's so true with us. The same thing happens with us. In an instant, you realize this is why I was made. The stand doesn't matter. The strings don't matter. The only thing that matters is that the master musician holds me and makes music with my life. And that's what a life is. Having a life is all about knowing the one who created you. It's not about snakes. It's not about snake bites. It's not about houses or cars or, or boyfriend or girlfriend, until you know the one who created you, you will never make the music like you're supposed to. You will never feel that amazing sense that someone is using you in an amazing way, and you are doing what you were made to do, that you are on the planet accomplishing what you are made to do. Being touched by him, being healed by him, God Almighty. Let me give you some final points here. I'm going to wrap this up together, and then we're going to close. But when the people got bit by the snakes, they could choose to live or to die. They had a choice, and I'm sure that some people died. Some people died. They decided, you know what, I can heal myself. Yeah, I got the snake bite, but man, I got this soothe or sap thing, or I saw John Wayne do this, you know, and suck the stuff out and spit it, you know, and everything. I saw that on TV. It's going to work. It's going to be okay, you know, or I'm just going to chop my arm off like Walking Dead, you know, and like, it's going to be okay. I'm going to survive. You know, and they had all their own reasons and their own ways of dealing with it. They said, I know what's best for me. But see, the thing is, what's best for you is always much bigger than you. What's best for you is always much bigger than you. You were designed for far more than you can see. Your story begins where you think that you end. Your story begins where you think that you end. My best man at my wedding, a guy by the name of Shane Kovach, he was an athletic dude, unlike me. He was in the Navy. He was like thinking about trying out for Buds and stuff. And so he was like always in shape. And he always ran. And I wanted to be a runner. Okay, Pastor Joe's an awesome runner. He runs 10 miles and stuff. I can't do that. I wanted to be a runner. And so I'm like, Shane, can I run with you? Will you teach me how to run? Shane's like, yeah, I'll teach you how to run. You know, he's got the big jaw like the military guy. He's like, yeah, dude, we'll just run. And so Shane tells me, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go out to run, and it's going to feel, Ron, like you're going to die. Well, that's great. You know, where do I sign? This is going to be wonderful. It's going to feel like you're going to die, Ron. You're going to feel like everything's going to shut down, like you're not going to be able to take another step. You're going to feel absolutely like you are at the end of yourself. But if you will push, if you will keep running past that point, then you'll feel like you could run forever. I'm like, you have smoked a lot of pot, Shane. And he had. But that was before he... That's before he knew God and stuff. But so I go out running with Shane, and sure enough, man, about a half mile in, I'm like, and I'm looking at him, and Shane's like, I mean, he's got this huge grin on his face. Shane always had a smile, and he just ran like Forrest Gump. Like, it didn't even matter. Like, it doesn't even faze him. Shane's just like running. I'm like, Shane, we gotta slow down. You know, I'm like, we gotta slow down. We gotta take a break. We gotta get a breather here. And Shane's like, just keep going, Ron. Remember, just keep going. You're not gonna die. This cannot kill you. And I'm like, oh, I think it can. You're out of your mind. You're insane. And so we keep running and we keep running. And you know what? He was right. I totally felt like I was gonna die. And then I didn't quit. And then I felt like I was even closer to death. So I quit. I totally quit. I just started walking. And I've never been a runner. I've totally never been a runner. You know? He's like, you can't quit. And the truth is that life is, there's these things that really take a lot of discomfort for you to get to. For you to break through, for me to be able to go running with Pastor Joe, I would have to endure a great deal of discomfort to get to that point. You guys watch Biggest Loser? You ever see that, right? They're all like, oh, my life sucks, I'm gonna die. And you know? And then they keep going, and then they're like, oh, I did this thing that's so amazing and so awesome. I'm so thankful that I pushed through. It's so painful and it's so discomforting. The pain and discomfort of my body being pushed to transform into a running machine was too much, so I quit. The same is true for us. When we meet God, our Creator, many people choose to die rather than to turn and look at Him. He wants us to do what we were made to do, to make beautiful music, to be that awesome creation. But it's too painful. It's too hard. When I started learning to play guitar, man, my fingers hurt like crazy. Now I just got like this like leather skin on my fingers that just like, I don't feel a thing. and I can keep playing. It's like that. We turn and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We keep talking, I want a life, I have no life. It's because life is found in Christ. It's found in the person of Jesus. And many people feel that it's true, you know, that God exists and that there's something else out there, but the life, the discomfort is just, it's too much. I don't want to go there. The life I know I want is in Jesus, but it's so uncomfortable to turn and look at him. And see the things I've done wrong, the things that are wrong in me, the brokenness. I don't think I could do that because I'm a mess. I don't want to admit that I need rescued from me. That's really hard. It is. And I get that. Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, man, I want a life, but and I feel like there's something out there that God is real, that he exists, but I am just disconnected on some level. Maybe you're a Christian and you know that God's real, but like there's a disconnection from what's going on and what you think is supposed to happen, and you just feel like God's not there. You're like, man, I know what I need to do, but I feel like there should be something more. And you're disconnected from him. I want to encourage you tonight. I want to encourage you tonight, if you are in the wilderness and you want to get a life, I want to ask you, are you ready? Are you ready? You ready to look to the one who can heal your wounds of your heart and your soul? The mistakes that you've made, that we've all made, that separate you from life that you can have in him? I want to invite you tonight. And if you could, I'm going to ask that everyone just kind of stand with me, if you guys want. There you go. And just bow your head and close your eyes. You know, if you're not going to pray, that's fine. Just at least do it to give yourself and other people around you some privacy. This is a private moment between you and God. And I want to know tonight, if you're a Christian, you say, man, I'm in the wilderness. I know I'm in the wilderness. I know I've had these attitudes and we've been dealing with this, but I just don't have the power to fix it. I tried. I'm just right back where I was. The truth is you can't do it alone. You can't. You need the master musician. You need the creator to pick you up and to hold you and to help you see what you were created to be and to do. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, I don't even know the creator. I don't know God. I never claim to. I'll say I'm really glad you're with us tonight. And I love you. Maybe tonight you want to start a relationship. Even just a little one. Even just a start. I invite you to pray with me. Dear God, I'm kind of a mess right now. Could you forgive me of my silly arrogance and pride, my choices to resist you? Dear God, please hold me and heal me. I want to experience life in you. I look to you, and tonight I invite you in my heart. In Jesus' name. And for those of you who are a Christian, maybe you pray something like this. I don't know. Dear God, I'm a mess. My attitude, my stuff, it just pushes me away from you, God. And I know that you are life. I hear that. I believe that, but I don't live that. And there's something disconnecting me from you. Lord, let me look to you. Let me see that life is not in my circumstances. Life is in you. Lord, I pray that I would push past the circumstances and experience the fullness of life in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you pray at either one of those tonight, I would love to talk to you. I think it's pretty awesome. And you know, this is just the beginning. And I wish I had great, emotionally fulfilling answers. But the truth is, life is found in Christ. That's what we live. So go ahead, you can have a seat. Each week, we take up an offering, and we do it in a maybe non-standard way. We have a plate in the back there, and if you feel like you would like to participate in worship in that way by leaving an offering, we invite you to go ahead and drop something in on your way out. We believe that God wants us to be giving, generous people. I know a lot of Christians who are not generous in the least bit, and so we encourage you to exercise your generosity by giving to that, and we will use it to reach our community and to love on other people. So, with that said, I'm going to invite the band to come back up. At least Nathan, I don't know where Lee went. We're going to close with a song. Afterward tonight, I think we're going to hang out at Dairy Queen, right? Some of us are going to the DQ, so you are welcome to join us at the DQ and have some fun. If not, you're welcome to hang out here and talk as long as you want. So if you guys want, you can stand up again. You know, sit, stand. And let's close with a song. What do you want to sing, Nate? Nathan doesn't know. What should we sing, Sally? Yeah, what should we sing?
I'm sorry.
It's okay. The One Who Saves? Okay, we'll do a verse and chorus of The One Who Saves. You rock, Brian. Way to be decisive.
Your voice, as heaven and earth give praise. Fall to your knees at the feet of the Son of the One True God. Your eyes, for the kingdom of God is here. Open your heart, offer all, for Jesus Christ is here.